Hello and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Kara Westworth, and today I'm rejoined for part two of Tropic Thunder by Peter.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so if you haven't listened to part one, you should probably do that because obviously it's really weird just to start listening or watching part two of something if you don't know what's happening in part one.
Yeah, none of this is going to make any sense.
And we're trying to make this so if you don't want to watch the movie Tropic Thunder, you don't really have to because I've talked all about it and explained all the shitty bits.
I think that's going to be a lot of people, actually. Like, it's one of these things where, like, I think as I mentioned beforehand, I didn't hate this movie. Like, I enjoyed watching it. I found it visually very interesting, which is something that I guess we haven't spoken about either, but, like, the way it's shot is kind of interesting too. But, like, even with that, like, I could not imagine recommending this film to anyone.
No. Maybe in 2008, 2009, maybe 2010 in a pinch, but otherwise, no.
Well, it's my dad and my brother went to see it in cinemas, and they were like, this is the best shit ever. And I was just like, even at the time, I was like, I don't think that's for me. And like, I was right, but I'm still glad I saw it. Yeah. Good for Tom Cruise, if nothing else.
Makes that that hentai comic of...
Well, that's like, I was going to say, I was just like, should I bring up Tom Cruise? But I mean, like, that was like my only knowledge of the character was that comic. I was like, oh, looking forward to that scene, but it never happened. Looking back on it now, like, I'm pretty sure Matthew McConaughey was in it.
Yeah, I think he was the one
the other guy named Bill Hader?
Well,
or Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, no, Matthew McConaughey's watching, so it must have been Bill Hader's character.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's the one who's, like, coming in, and he's the one who Les Grossman's like, don't worry at all, like, I'm on top of this sort of thing. So I guess that means that the other guy was Bill Hader.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, I did a mini episode with Peter's partner, Lauren, and we talked all about the hentai comics that she got me from Japan, and we discussed them at length, and there's just basically an entire comic where it's just Tom Cruise being the bottom and being fucked by different characters in his movies. Yeah, it's hilarious. It's one of the most wonderful things I own. All right, so we're not going to go back what we just threw. We'll just keep going with the movie. Yeah, Tug's been caught by the cartel, and they're now torturing him, doing, like, water torture, dunking him in water, and he keeps yelling, cut, like, thinking it's still... I think that's when he starts to realize, oh, maybe this isn't actually being filmed. So Jeff actually ends up seeing them. Actually, did they go back to rescue, or is it just that they happened... No, they just happened across the compound, right?
I can't remember now. Did they just come across it?
I feel like... Because then Kevin's, like, talking about how it's the Golden Triangle, which is like looks like a heroin manufacturing plant, and oh no, for a moment they're doubtful. They're like, oh, this looks like the POW camp. Maybe Tug was right this whole time. Then Kevin's like, no. Right. You can see all the cookers, like you can see all the armed guards. This is definitely like, you know,
but
heroin manufacturing.
But it is coincidence because just before that is, I think, Jack Black admitting that he's been on drugs and that sort of thing, because it's the whole scene where they've got like the water buffalo or something for some reason.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
and
that.
And then it's just then they just look over a rock and the camp's there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it's like, oh, movie just moves along, I guess. Like,
just hurry that along.
We wasted too much money on the panda scene. We just gotta get to it.
So yeah, but they see him getting dunked in water and they're like, ah, oh, shit, we're going to have to go save him. Like, this is a proper drug cartel sort of situation where we have to help him. This is where we meet the actual leader of the, I hate to say the word cartel because I don't think it's the right word, but I actually don't know another word for.
It's just a drug ring isn't really right
ring.
Either. No.
Anyway, well, the leader of it is basically a kid called Trang. And I looked up and apparently it's based on, there was Myanmar. Oh, what was it called? It was called God's Children. It was like, it had some like pretty cool name. And it was actually, when it started, it was run, the leaders of it were 2 9-year-old brothers.
Oh, okay. Thank God, because I could not work out why he was a kid. I kept waiting for some sort of like punchline to that. And then like by the end of it, like nothing really happens. There's a couple of kind of funny scenes because he's like really good at martial arts later and the visuals are kind of interesting, but it never has.
Yeah, they never explain
it. Payoff. And so I was just like, this has to be a reference that I just don't get anymore.
And I wonder like how widely known that reference was, like were our parents maybe you saw that and were like, oh yes, I remember reading about that. Also, it is very wild that 2 9-year-old boys ran like a fucking big drug operation.
Yeah, no, I mean,
like it seems like silly movie stuff. But
I nearly said good on them. Yeah, it's like running a lemonade stand. Just get out there.
Also, they apparently, those kids were obsessed with the Rocky movies. That's why, like, they made a thing about.
Oh, okay. No, this is all the pieces are falling into place.
Yes.
Yeah, this is definitely a big brain movie. It's, you know.
I also, when I read that, I was like, I want to know more about these boys and what this, like,
yeah,
what happened to them. Like, I don't imagine they survived very long because, you know.
No. Maybe they just grew up.
They just grew up and, like, we're done with it.
It's like a phase. Like, I'm done with the drug cartel.
When Trang is, like, questioning Tug, he, like, puts his cigar and does all this torturous stuff, and obviously Tug is terrified because it would be absolutely terrifying, and he starts stuttering like his character Simple Jack, which is back to the, you know, I became Simple Jack when I was acting like him. And so he kind of reverts into Simple Jack. Yep. And they, when they realize, they're like, oh, this is the only movie we watch here. We don't have anything else to watch but this VHS of Simple Jack. Mm-hmm. We love it. And now we know you're the actor. We're just going to ransom you. We're not going to kill you for being an American Dog kind of thing.
Because they think they're all DEA.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think they're DEA. So they would have just probably killed them.
They think they're doing a drug bust, so they're just going to kill them all. Yeah, no, and the when he starts stuttering during the torture sequence and the kid notices and picks up on it, that is the precise moment. You can pause it to see exactly where my rising sense of dread starts overtaking me. I'm like, no, don't bring this plot point back. This is done yet. You had your terrible speech. That's it. We nope. don't have to address this. It's
we're
like,
keep...
oh no, this is a rolling boulder.
It just keeps going. And you're like, no, please.
It just keeps going.
Jesus. We're back to a Tom Cruise moment finally.
Oh, thank
so
God.
So Peck like bursts into Les Grossman's office to basically be like, can't believe you haven't honored this contract where he has to have TiVo. And Les just absolutely goes fucking off at Peck.
This is an interesting as well because, as we mentioned before, there's a lot of sort of anti-Tom Cruise-isms in this. Yep. He's playing very much against cast. You're the expert on this. He has one line, and I'm pretty sure it's in this scene, that I feel like he's never delivered a line like it. It's the way he's like almost sing songs in a very high-pitched voice, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
And it's great, but it's a case of like, it was weird watching that. I was just like, I don't think I've seen Tom Cruise do anything like this ever.
No.
Like in none of his roles, like he's never delivered a line like this. And it's weird because, I mean, he's done so much. You'd feel that you'd be like, oh, this is like when he's like this. It's like, no, this is very, like everything about this is different.
Yeah, this is Tom Cruise being as non-Tom Cruise as possible to prove a point. I hate the character. He makes me want to die, but also he's doing an amazing job of it. Like,
oh no, he's fantastic in this. Like, I mean, just quietly, he's fantastic in everything, but he plays the character perfectly.
Something we haven't pointed out is how the character actually looks. So when I saw the movie at the cinemas, I did not know it was Tom Cruise until I saw the credits. I had no idea. So, and apparently a lot of people were like that, even though like looking at it now, I see Tom Cruise's face and I'm like, well, obviously that's Tom Cruise, like, duh. But at the time, no, you did not know that was Tom Cruise because he'd never done anything like that before. Yeah, it was full on, like, and to see at the very last credit was him saying, and Les Grossman is Tom Cruise. You're like, what the fuck? Because he has prosthetic hands to make his hands really big and his arms are really hairy, hairy chest, bald. So he's got like a really receding hairline and just, yeah.
But there's also, because I mean, his hands are very standout. Like he's got huge meaty hands and it's very distracting. But also I feel like there's something, because Tom Cruise, is all of his features are very distinctive, but like I feel like he's done something with his mouth. I was wondering if they would, I know he's got prosthetics all over, but there's something about the way his mouth kind of falls. I was thinking, has he done the Marlon Brando, Colonel Kurtz, like put cotton balls in there or something,
because
it feels much more like jowly and downturny than it would have been for like 2008 Tom Cruise.
Oh, definitely.
And it doesn't just look like they've added stuff onto his face. It's like the whole shape of his mouth is different and it was just like makes him even scarier looking.
Yeah. It have to be because don't forget, was it 2010 is Night and Day era Tom Cruise, which is peak handsome Tom Cruise.
So handsome, the most handsome.
So yeah, definitely like yes, they've done something else, like which,
done something there, yeah.
Yeah, which is why I don't feel as silly for not getting that it was Tom Cruise at the time, because yeah, you didn't expect it, and just because someone looks a little bit Tom Cruise-y doesn't mean it's going to be fucking Tom Cruise turning up in this movie, this really, really weird role. So I'm going to read out one of his little spiels in a moment because it's so full on. But the reason why he says this is because while Peck is like confronting Les about this contract and everything, he gets a phone call from the satellite phone and is like, here we go, put it on speaker and I'm going to show you. And it turns out it's the guys in the drug cartel it's called the Flaming Dragon, and they're demanding a ransom. Immediately Peck is like, oh no, this is a different agency, I've never heard of you, whispering to it, and you know, doesn't quite get what's going on. And then Les grabs the phone and decides to intervene, which I'll read out now. I'm not going to do it in the Tom Cruise voice or anything. Okay, he says, first, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face. I don't know what kind of Pan-Pacific bullshit power play you're trying to pull here, But Asia Jack is my territory. So whatever you're thinking, you better think again. Otherwise, I'm going to have to head down there and I will rain down an ungodly fucking firestorm upon you. You're going to have to call the fucking United Nations and get a fucking binding resolution to keep me from fucking destroying you. I'm talking scorched earth, motherfucker. I will massacre you. I will fuck you up. So yeah, that's what Tom Cruise says. And me, Tom Cruise fan, being like, oh,
it's a bit much. Is it after that one where he like, he hangs up and then he's like, we don't negotiate with terrorists?
No, that's later? A bit later. But this is the one where he's like, he does it and he's like, find out who these guys are. Like he has this huge regret.
That's right.
And then he's like, all right, we should probably find out who these guys are. The change, like he's so vicious and angry in that. And then as soon as he hangs up, throws the phone back, he like quite politely says, find out who those guys are. Like just goes back to normal. It's full on. Like if based on Tom Cruise swears in his movies, like he said fuck and everything before, he's done, you know, naughty things. But this by far is the most shocking. I don't know.
Yeah, the only other character this even comes close to is, I want to say, like, is a Magnolia character.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he says cunt in that. Still shocked.
Oh, Timothy, Crizzle, what are you saying?
Hey,
where'd you learn that language? yeah, no, but that's the thing. It's weird because it's like close to his Magnolia character is not the same thing, is not something you'd want to associate with like his role in a comedy film.
No.
It's like those two concepts should not be further apart, but here we are.
Oh my God. So Tug is made to perform as Simple Jack. It's as cringy as you can imagine. Just, it's like he's got like a coconut kind of husk as his wig, and they put in like an old guy's false teeth. And yeah, like apart from.
And they like cake his face with like bright white face paint as well.
Yeah, just.
And then like, yeah.
It's so much. And yeah, he does it because like he keeps getting bashed every time he tries to sort of not do it. So meanwhile, all the other guys are scheming their way to get in to rescue Tug. They don't know what to do. And Kevin, who forever the voice of reason, is like, why don't we just do what they did in the script? Like, it's all written out for us. And they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't. No one read the script. That's when they find out everyone's a fucking dumbass except Kevin. Yep. Although it was a bit earlier when they're walking and he was when Kevin's talking about Blu-rays versus HD.
Robert Downey Jr. is like, were you talking to me the entire time?
Ben has been Kevin telling me about that so many times.
So many times, yeah, no.
Because Ben backed HD, he didn't back Blu-ray, and so we had a bunch of HD videos for a while. Yeah, so yeah. I've heard that, and then we were just talking about it, and I'm like, they're making it like he's such a dork, and I'm like, oh, I'm married to Kevin, I guess.
Well, look, if you had to be married to any of them, you'd want it to be Kevin, so.
Absolutely.
Nice work.
Yeah, he's like, let's just break in like they do in the script, and that's what the plan that they end up going with. We flash back to Les's office. They've actually figured out what's going on, that it's actually this drug cartel, the Flaming Dragon. They're being held hostage and everything. This is the part where they ring back and say, you haven't given us our money. It's now double, $100 million. And Les is just like, fuck off. And then it's like tangs up and says, we don't negotiate with terrorists,
and gets a round of applause. Like everyone's just like, yes, excellent work.
Peck is obviously appalled, and it's when their plan is revealed. It's like, this guy's not, doesn't make his money anymore. He's, you know, a shit actor, makes shit movies. We're better off him dying, and then we can claim the insurance, and we'll do, you know, a few things in his name, and we'll be very sad and everything, but in the long run we're gonna be better off. And like, it's this very sneaky scheme, and they're like talking about how lucrative it's gonna be and how much money Peck will make from it as well. And this is the part where, which is very famous, and it makes me want to die. So this is the part where Ben turned up and he's like, that's your husband.
Oh no.
And I was like, your fucking husband wrote this, Ben. So he dances to Flo Rida's Low, and it is awful. It's meant to be awful, but the cringiness of it makes me want to die. Apparently Tom Cruise just danced, like they didn't just put the music in later.
I believe that.
And so that's just Tom Cruise just like doing some fucking awful dad dancing.
I was about to say, also, again, not playing to type, how many times has Tom Cruise danced in movies?
No, we worked out not much, because I actually did like a mini-sode about this with Amanda, where we're like, actually, he doesn't dance that much in movies.
No.
Like famously in Risky Business, and then obviously in like Rock of Ages and stuff, but he hasn't actually danced that much. And he's not like a terrible dancer because
no,
in Risky Business, like he's, but I think it's more he's good at doing like very athletic moves, and that's why it looks impressive when he dances. Whereas this is just him.
Yeah,
like,
it's very coordinated. I'll give it that.
Yeah, but. And it's, I don't know, how do you describe that thing where it's like you're doing that hand slapping, like you're slapping a girl's booty,
and also towards, because again, spoiler warning, but like it comes into play later in the film too, and it's all the stuff with like keeping his head in place and rolling his shoulders around. Like yeah. I was like, oh, that looks pretty good. Like,
but also I'm dying.
But it's weird. Yes. No.
It's, hang on. Is this the part where actually it's pretty funny, this bit where he's like, "This is, you can get like G6 money," and then McConaughey later is like looking at a picture of him and Tug, and then in the other hand is the G6 Owner's Magazine.
Owner's Magazine. Yeah.
It's so silly. And they're like, especially seeing McConaughey doing, like, even though McConaughey's been in like cheesy movies and stuff, like, this is like a kind of acting I really liked in this.
He gives it his all in this film. Yeah. Like, he's one of the few endearing characters in the
entire
film.
And he's just having a really fun time. Like, he's genuinely, like, he makes up for a lot of the shit in this. McConaughey just being, like, really earnestly playing this fucking agent.
And because it's like he just pours how much he cares about Tug into like every scene and every moment.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite nice. And especially because they keep playing him against Les, who's the worst person in the film.
Yeah, it's very famous. Like, if you want to look up a gif of Les Grossman, you're going to find 1,000 of him doing that dance and just,
In the past, when I've tried to send you, like, Tom Cruise gifs, they love loading up the old Les Grossman. So it's like, this is clearly not what I wanted.
Of all the Tom Cruise gifs, you're giving me this. Jesus Christ. Back with the rest of the gang as they're planning what they're going to do. Like, there's like sewing things and getting ready for the big rescue the next day. Kirk actually apologizes for how he gets carried away with his characters and everything. And he kind of has like, they have a D&M talking about it and, you know, which is all pretty nice. Except, I don't know if you picked up on this, but it gets homophobic. Like,
oh yeah, no, this is, because this is when they're all chatting about like, do you have a girl back home and that kind of thing.
Because Kevin's no, I was hoping that this movie would get me laid, and they're like, well, what about you, Alpa? And he's like, oh, Alpa's Alpa, like dripping in pussy, whatever. It turns out Alpa's not, and that he's been pining over someone, and they kind of eventually sort of get it out of him, and he says the name Lance, and they're immediately like, oh, did you just say Lance? That sounded like you just said Lance. Like, immediately like, oh my god, I can't believe you're like a boy. And
And that's one of the many things that kind of, like, as we've said before, this movie is very much like of a very specific time period, and this kind of, the whole thing really heavily dates it.
Very, very much.
It's a case sort of like, oh, you're telling me this black rapper is gay? Is this kind of like, yeah? Like, no one cares. Like, no one cares. I mean, like, even the whole thing with, because his whole marketing angle is like hyper-masculine, hyper-sexualized. And I guess it's meant to be a play off against that. But I mean, they have that Lance scene and that's kind of it. If that's meant to be like a thing or a joke, it's so, I don't know, like low? Like low energy, low key, it doesn't really feel like anything. And I was trying to think, so like 2008, would this have been like shocking or interesting to cinema goers at the time? Would this be like a thing, like, oh no, I'm not gay sort of thing? And even for then, it feels like it's not really.
It was too late, yeah.
Yeah, like really, I don't know, it's just sort of, it just feels gay. Oh, okay, so what? Like even at the time, it would have been like, yeah, okay, so what? And like them being like, wait, did you say Lance? It's like, sorry, have we just gone back another fucking 50 years? What the fuck happened? Like,
it's, yeah. Another thing that just, yeah, dates this movie horribly. Like, especially now in 2021, we have gay rappers lap dancing Satan, which is...
Yes, exactly. It's, I think, especially at the moment, it's hyper dates it. But it just feels weird because it feels like it's meant to be a joke or a bit. And instead it's not. It's just like, there's just people talking. And then it's like, it feels like it's meant to be a scene, but there's like the energy to it's weird.
Yeah.
And I'm like literally had to like try and throw my mind back to be like, would this read differently back then? And I was like, probably
not. Yeah, I can't remember seeing it at the movies what I thought about that. I probably thought it was like, really? But I don't know. I actually don't know. I was a very different person in 2008, like, from what I am now. Yeah.
I mean, you'd hope.
Yeah. We hope we're better. But like,
I have not changed in 13 years. Is that right?
Yeah. 12, 13 years. They end up infiltrating the compound, which, you know, just layer upon layer. They get Kirk to do a little bit of yellow face on top of the black face.
Going back one step, this point that we just missed, this scene that just went, also introduces, I think, the only time Jack Black's character is actually relevant to the plot, which is he gets them to tie him up.
Oh, yes.
Because he tells, is it, I want to say Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he tells Kevin. He's like, I'm a drug addict. I'm currently like going through through withdrawals. If I go down there with you, I'm going to fuck everything up.
Yes.
Like, I will guarantee you that this mission will not go properly because I will ruin it. So tie me to a tree. I'm not joking, because I will ruin everything. And then I must have missed something, because despite all that, and they do tie him to a tree in this scene, as you're saying, going forward, him doing the yellow face, black face combo, they bring him with anyway. And I'm not sure why.
But I guess that's why they tied him up on the back of the water buffalo. So like, okay, we can't trust him, but we'll tie him up. I don't know. And also, I just remembered, they sort of like further like rubbed in the homophobia, but like, if you untie me right now, I'll suck you down. And he goes really explicit on what he'll do.
Explicit. And like, I feel like that's kind of the only, using the word very loosely here, but the only like funny scene for his character as well. Like when he's going into those details is kind of, I can see that that's played for laughs as well. But it's sort of, again, it's like he's meant to be a comedy character, but that's kind of the only like bit that he gets.
Yeah.
And which again, doesn't really land. So.
I actually think Jack Black is a fine actor. Like, I don't know if you've seen Jumanji. Like, I think he...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
So good in those movies.
I think I've always enjoyed Jack Black. And I enjoy him in the scene that follows as well. The attack, I think, is very amusing as well.
Yeah. So this is not a reflection of my opinion on Jack Black. I just... Yeah, his character wasn't that great in this. And like, I hated how, apart from all that homophobia, but like when he's going through withdrawals, but he's acting like he's super high, like the way he's like licking his lips and everything. And I'm like, do I need accuracy in that? Maybe not. But I was like, I don't know. I found that really annoying.
I feel like it's weird because it feels like they wrote it as a Jack Black character and then kind of gave him nothing to do.
Yes. And then they were like...
We can go into more details when we do a Jack Black themed podcast. But yeah, I don't know. It was just weird. Like, it was sort of, for Jack Black and the kind of performances that he gives, this felt almost dialed back. Which is odd in the circumstances, because it's sort of, he was also meant to be going through withdrawals at the same time, and everything just felt very...
Yeah, just didn't hit a mark.
Didn't hit a mark at all.
So yeah, they go into the compound, and he's like, Kirk is being this... He knows Mandarin, so he's speaking Chinese. I didn't look and see if it was... Maybe it's on the Chinese border. Maybe, like, my geography in that part of the world... My geography in general sucks, let alone that part of the world, so I don't know. But same. He's speaking Mandarin, and then I don't know if they're continuing to speak Mandarin in when he talks to the kid Trang again. But he's like, I found this, you know, white American in my rice paddy. And they're like, okay, great, we'll take him off him. And then he kind of fucks it up by then saying, okay, I'm gonna go back to my poppy field now. I don't know if that was meant to be on purpose, like as a distraction, or it must have been, because the other guy's just like sneaking in.
No, he's getting, like, he's terrified during that scene, and he's getting increasingly flustered, because the first mistake he makes is he says that, like, I found him last night.
Oh yeah, yeah.
While I was farming my rice field. And they're like, why are you farming rice at night?
Yeah, and I guess
so he's already like on the back foot by that point, and like every time it cuts to him, it's also because he can see, because at the same time Kevin and Al Pacino are sneaking in, and he can see that they've been kind of spotted, so he's trying to run distraction at the same time.
Yeah,
but I didn't get that was deliberate.
You're probably
like
right.
Constantly, and sort of,
he doesn't, like, his grasp of the language probably isn't that good, so he's probably struggling to articulate what he's trying to.
Yeah.
So yeah, big gunfight breaks out as one would expect, and what happens here? So I think my notes got a bit... When I get to the end of the movie and I start enjoying myself, and then I'm like, oh shit, I haven't written down anything.
Before the gunfight breaks out, because you got a few moving pieces to this, as I said, definitely, you know, this is a thinking person's film. at the same time... I can't remember who it is, but one of them's gone to go break out Tug, and instead
I think Al Pacino
finds...
We forgot about them.
It's Cody and Fawley.
Oh my god, we've forgotten
one
of the bits.
Who got captured earlier. Yeah, no, and there's the whole reveal as well, because they get captured earlier, and the reveal is that Fawley, just like everyone in this film, is completely full of shit, because he wasn't even a Vietnam vet. He never lost his arms. He's wearing like fake prosthetics. And he's a garbage man who wrote a book about this because he thought it would be neat. And then it's just been like sailing through that the entire time. So like,
yes,
I like that reveal, because it's like literally every single stage, every single layer of this film and of Hollywood in general is just pure bullshit.
Yeah. I think the only one who's like legit is like Cody, the pyrotechnic guy.
Yeah. But,
although
apparently
he's got in trouble for like nearly blew up Jeremy Lee Curtis in Freaky Friday or something.
Like, yeah. And like nearly ran over Judi Dench and like driving Miss Daisy or something like that.
Yeah, because they're the ones who discovered, they went down to, because they couldn't get hold of the director, did the big pyrotechnics thing, went down and then found his scattered body parts and were like, oh, and that's when they're captured by the drug cartel and taken away. So yes, we glossed over that. This, for such a dumb fucking movie, there is a lot of elements that all interweave here. It's, yeah, hard to keep up. I'm like scribbling notes trying to watch the movie. Yeah, so Al Pacino finds them and that's where they're kind of like, got hands? Like, it's a recurring thing. They're like, you've got hands?
Who? One of them's like, your hands grew back.
That's so good. They grab a bunch of explosions, which conveniently lying around. So they, you know, part of their plan to get out and basically do what happens in the script. So Kirk manages to find Tug and is trying to get him out. And that's where Tug is like fully like, no, I'm doing like this many shows a night. And
he's gone full Colonel Kurtz.
Yeah. And he's also like, this little kid came and bought him like a stick doll. And he's like, this is my son now.
Oh, it's an Academy Award.
Oh, is that?
It's an Oscar. He's made him an Oscar out of sticks.
And I didn't realize that.
This is like a weird, again, like so many moving parts, because this was the kid as well, and his relationship with the kid is a reference to a line right near the beginning of the film with Pekka, which is like one line. It's a throwaway, but saying that he's trying to adopt a kid and having no success with it. So this so this kid looks up to him, likes him, and has made him an Academy Award and given it to him. So like Tug's finally getting all the things he wanted in this drug camp,
even though he's being mercilessly beaten every time he like as soon as they take him off the stage, he gets bashed up and everything.
Like, yeah, even when he does it properly, they like like rifle butt to the kidneys as he's leaving the stage.
Kirk has to do his whole, like, you know, talking him out of it. And while they're actually talking about it, Kirk's actually realizing himself that that's why I push myself into all these different characters, is because I actually don't know who I am. And that's where he's like, comes his big realization and takes off the wig and the fake facial hair and everything. And oh, I hate those contacts. Like, he takes his brown contacts out.
They don't look in the right direction. Blue they give him this contacts. Weird, like, 1,000-yard stare the entire time.
Oh, yuck. No one's eyes look like that. So he's like a blonde Australian man with his blue eyes, and it's terrifying. And yeah, so they have their big
face, though, so don't worry.
Now he just, at least now he just looks like he's like super tan, like a super tan Aussie surfer, because he's got like the blonde hair and everything, but still like, whoa.
Yeah. And he stops doing the racist voice at this point and says,
yeah, he goes back to his
actually
Aussie
a pretty good Australian accent.
Especially considering, so he originally, the character was meant to be Irish, but he said, well, I've done an Aussie voice before. I did what the fuck is that movie called?
Him being Australian doesn't really come into it much, but it does, it's got that fantastic, when it's, I want to say, is it Al Pacino who's having a go at him about being Australian, and he calls him like Crocodile Dundee and stuff, and he almost drops characters. He's like, you know, watch what you say, that man's a national treasure.
That's right. Oh, yeah. So it's a movie I fucking hate. It's Natural Born Killers.
Oh, shit. So he's he was even in it.
Australian reporter in that. I forgot about that. Ugh. And I, one of those movies I didn't watch as a teenager, so when I watched it as an adult, I was like, oh, this is not good.
I did watch it as a teenager, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? And then watch it as an adult, and I'm just like, why did...
oh, good, okay. Yeah, so that's why he had the Australian accent. They went with the Australian thing, which is why I assumed it was Heath Ledger, but apparently not. So yeah, they're talking about it here. So they've all had like their big like moments of, you know, discovering themselves, why they are the way that they are and everything. They escape. The big escape scene is very action-y, and like they get into a truck and it blows. So Kevin's driving and they're all on it, and that's when like they're like, yeah, your hands grew back to full leaf and everything, and they shoot like grenade launchers at the truck, and Kevin's the only one who doesn't get out in time but still survives. And yeah, I'm trying to remember all the elements. A lot happens in this bit.
It starts recreating the scene from the beginning. It's a case of like, because Kevin's so they're carrying him out, they're getting him to the chopper. I'm trying to remember what Jack Black's been doing this entire time, because he's just been running around in his underpants screaming.
There's one point where that's what we missed. He has a fight with the kid, Trang.
Oh, yes, because he finds the giant mound of drugs.
Yes.
And he has this, because they all have their character moments at kind of the same time, except Kevin, because I guess he doesn't need one. But he gets that thing where he's like, it turns out he's really insecure about his career, and like he's like, I've got nothing going for me, and they're like, no, you're really funny and everyone loves you and everyone laughs at you, and he's like, they just laugh at my farts. And then, like, that's the first time that he's had any kind of real, like, character anything. It's like, oh, okay. And then, like, two of the drug cartel guys come in, and they've got guns pointed at him, and he farts, and they laugh, and that's meant to be, like, a berserk mode thing for him. So then that happens, I guess. So, yeah.
It's so dumb, but here I am laughing. And then, yeah, Trang fights him, but he, I mean, Trang's just a little kid, so he just kind of, like...
Yeah, he kind of, like, lands on him.
Barges through, and they fall down a balcony thing, and he lands on him.
I liked in that scene, too, because they have, like, anytime Trang, the little kid, like, kicks anything or touches anything, it, like, blows a big hole in it. It's like he's, like, stupidly strong. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
good one.
Yeah, so they go get out. Lots is happening. We've probably missed a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, the truck gets blown up and I think Tug is lagging and they're kind of like... Oh,
Tug goes back.
Oh, he goes back,
Tug
yeah.
Tug goes back. They're going to blow the bridge and Tug's like, no, like this is where I'm actually... Like I've got my kid and, you know, this is where I belong and, you know, I feel a connection here and this is where I'm happy. And he goes back and then like 2 seconds later he comes back and he's like, I was wrong. I was really wrong.
And the little kid's like stabbing him in the back.
And the kid's stabbing him, yeah.
That's great. But like the bridge blows and the big dramatic action scene of him running and leaping in the air as the explosions happen and like he's dead. Yep. But then they realize he's still alive and that's when Kirk goes back and they have the moment at the start of the movie where they have the actual big emotional moment and it's all very tender, I guess, for a bro-y fucking action movie.
It's also fun because, I mean, in the first part of the film, what you're watching is actors who are good acting badly.
Yes.
Which is fun. Like it's fun to like them sort of like Rob Downey Jr. doing the super dramatic and it being awful and Ben Stiller being someone who basically can't act trying to do that. And then you then get the other sequence, but it's they play it, even though it's comedy, like, and you get the joke, they're playing it pretty straight.
Yeah.
So it's nice, and it's actually sort of like because it's them realizing that they actually like each other.
Yes.
And they're sort of like, one of the things that they're missing is people who have any kind of actual connection with them as people.
Yep.
So it's nice. It's heartwarming.
Yes, it's nicely done.
It's nicely done.
I can't remember how they know the helicopter was coming, but it must be the helicopter was going to pick them up. Anyway, the pelican comes, picks them up, and they're rescued. I don't know, I missed that. It was all, like, for someone who likes action movies, I was having a pretty fun time by the end. Everything was blowing up, and yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the helicopter just kind of shows up.
Yeah. Oh, do they do a... you know what? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Nah.
Doesn't fucking matter. Yeah, and then does it from there, it just becomes like, it then shows that they actually end up making a movie about what happened?
Not quite. No? You're almost forgetting a scene.
Oh,
you're almost forgetting a scene because they all get on the helicopter and they're all going to get away, but then they've got a rocket grenade. And do you remember?
Oh, like that's right.
Oh, yeah, how could you forget?
I was having too much fun at this point. I didn't write it down. Yeah, so as they're going up and, like, Trang has woken up and comes with this big grenade launcher and fires it at the helicopter and, like, certain death for everyone on board, except Peck comes storming out of the jungle. He's, like, all sweaty and, like, he's been there for days, comes out and he's holding a TiVo. And when he realizes what's happening, he hurls a TiVo in the air and it intercepts the grenade. It blows up and, like, he saves their lives.
Yeah.
And they fly off without him?
Yeah. And he's just so excited to be there too. Like he looks so happy.
He's like, I did it.
He came there to meet them and he didn't bring the ransom money. He brought the TiVo because that was that's what he promised.
Yeah, it's actually really good. Yeah, that McConaughey met the best bits of the movie.
I just want to check something here. I never had a TiVo. Is TiVo still a thing?
No, I don't think
In the age of streaming, or is that... Because I feel like that's another thing that sort of, again...
Well, it might be because HBO and stuff. But no, HBO's now streaming too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I never had it here because it barely made it to Australia. I always wanted one. I remember seeing about it on Oprah once and I was like, what is this? But yeah, I don't think it is what thing anymore. So people, watching this now be like, you know, young people be like, what the fuck is TiVo?
What the fuck's TiVo? Not that I think any young people are watching this movie.
You know, maybe like, on streaming,
Why would they? There's like sort of...
They'd be like, man, I love Iron Man. I'm going to go watch all Robert Downey Jr. movies.
What else has Robert Downey Jr. done? Oh my God!
Oh Lord.
Oh Christ. I really enjoyed Night at the Museum. What else has Ben Stiller written?
Yeah, so they end up doing, like, they end up making a movie, and I think, does Ben Stiller get his first, gets his Oscar for this?
Yes, he does.
Yes, that's right. Who's announcing it?
It is, it's Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, announcer. So, yeah. He announced it, and he's like, and
he's
thank
up,
God.
He's up against, like, Tobey Maguire and John Voight. And then we get the actual, I guess, punchline, again, dated within dated, for the Al Pacino joke. The Lance that he's talking about is Lance from the Backstreet Boys.
No, NSYNC.
NSYNC. Yeah. I get it. See, did, like Lauren got very excited for that scene. She was like, is his name Lance Bass? Yeah, like, I don't know, like, it's just, like, there was just a guy there, and she got, like, super excited, and just, like, oh, it's from that, and I was just, like, whoop, completely out of my head, like.
I never was into boy bands per se, but if I had to pick one, it would have been NSYNC, so I knew Lance, oh, right. Lance Bass, and that he ended up, he came out as gay, so.
Oh, okay, again.
Yes, he was definitely gay, so.
Okay, cool. Oh, hang on. You got the Academy Awards, and then the other people, because the viewer, are watching the Academy Awards. But also the other person watching the Academy Awards is Les Grossman and
Bill Hader, yep.
Yeah.
They're just watching it. And the way Les is like leaning back with his legs and like, oh. And Bill Hader's like in his little tuxedo just went and he's like, they watch it and like, yeah, very, very satisfied. And he lets Bill Hader go off, not without reminding him repeatedly that a dickless monkey could do your job. Like
he could do your job,
anything nice that he says was kind of like.
He has to be horrible constantly.
Yeah. And the movie finishes on Les Grossman turning up his music and dancing, and it's like lots of dancing for a long time throughout the credits. So
yeah,
like yes, this is
because even the credits keep going, and doesn't it keep cutting back to him?
Yeah,
like constantly.
Yeah, because they introduce when they're showing the credits of which actor was who and everything, they actually show those actors, but then it goes straight back to Les Grossman dancing and it's what it's meant to be, and I'm mostly cringing because I love Tom Cruise and it's so daggy, and
it is definitely daggy, and I believe that he wasn't instructed or coordinated anywhere. They're just like, Tom, just dance for a bit. And
apparently the dancing was his idea. Apparently almost everything he did in this was his idea.
Oh God.
So I remember watching something when he was talking about being Les Grossman, and Tom Cruise is like, all right, because Ben Stiller and Tom Cruise are good mates. And Tom Cruise is like, all right, I'll do it. But on the condition that I get to have he's like, I want the big hands. I want to look like this, blah, blah, blah. And I think I should just dance. And they're like, all right, Tom Cruise, go for it. And yeah, that's what he did. I don't know if anyone else could have pulled off Les Grossman. Like, yes, they could have pulled it off, but the shock factor was everyone realized it was Tom Cruise. I don't know if there's any other actors who could have done that.
No, because as you say, like, a lot of it is playing off kind of expectations. Like, he is only as engaging or interesting as he is because it's Tom Cruise doing this role.
Yeah.
Because it's Tom Cruise doing a very hyper non-Tom Cruise role.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the movie.
It just kind of ends there. I'm trying to think if there's anything we missed, but...
Oh, there probably is, because there's so much, for what this movie is, like, there's so many things that interconnect, and, like, that's why I was, as I was running notes, I'm like, oh, shit, why did that happen? Oh, it's because of this back in the... And I'm like, oh, it's so much. Oh, and there's, like, a bit where, talking about that adoption thing, where, what's his name, Peck is like, well, at least you got to choose yours, and, like, has this...
I hated that!
It just has this real dud.
Then in the credits, where it's, like, listing off who everyone is, and they do, like, that like little comic booky effect over like each character, and it like has Matthew McConaughey as Pecker, and then it like does the same effect on his son,
but name.
Then like no name, no anything. It's just like, oh, there he is, sort of thing.
I like to think that it's just like he's just a dud of a child, but they kind of made it seem like that child may have been intellectually impaired as well.
I think that's absolutely what.
Well, they could have just made him a dud, like in The Simpsons, like, oh, you got the dud. Like, they could have done that, but instead they made it another kind of ableist thing.
Yeah, because why not?
If you rub it in there.
Just keep fucking going for it.
This bit is so funny,
I'm
guys.
Justin Theroux, and I've got big ideas.
Yeah, what I hate and we don't see enough of is making fun of intellectually disabled people, except he didn't say that word. So yeah, that's the movie. So like I said, there's no Tom Cruise-ism, so we're not going to get into that because, you know, it's not a Tom Cruise role. It's just something completely different. But let's get into what we both thought of the movie before we review it. So yeah, you said you've actually ended up liking it more than you expected because your expectations were like...
My expectations was that I was going to hate the entire film from beginning to end.
Mm.
It's not to, as by way of explaining this, not to, you know, sorry to my lovely father and brother, but there's only a handful of films that they've seen that I haven't, and and one of them recently, this is going back like 1,000 years now, that they went and saw in cinemas and like, this film is fucking hilarious, you're gonna love it, was The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and,
oh yeah,
I'll say like Mark Wahlberg or something.
Yep.
And I then years down the track chucked it on to watch it and had to turn it off like super soon because I was just like, this is dire, this is like one of the worst things I've ever seen. So this being that category of stuff that they loved, and also like everything, like it's a case of I had literally not seen a single scene from this film.
Mm-hmm.
It, like even without that, like it has been just kind of like worked its way into the culture in general. Like it appears in memes, and you sort of like, mm-hmm, there was a lot of like promotion and publication about this film when it came out, so I knew like bits about it, but like nothing good.
Yes.
Every concept I had of this film was that this film is going to be awful, and instead, even from the beginning, it's just like I was surprised that like Ben Stiller directed this. I don't know any other films that he's directed, but I was enjoying like the way it was shot. There's stuff like in one of the early scenes, which is like the helicopter like coming and landing down when it's like the movie within a movie.
Mm.
And I was like, that's a gorgeous shot, like the way it's done, and it had like the grass blowing off in all the different directions, and also the stylistic choices. Like it's not shot so it looks like a comedy, and it's not shot so it looks like an action movie. Instead, it's got this like hyper saturated, really brightly colored effect over like everything.
Yeah, like it's not badly directed at all.
No. Yeah, like and it's visually quite pleasing as well, and like and the performances, as we mentioned, like the actors are all really good actors. So it was just a case of I found myself enjoying it just as a movie.
Yes,
but then that's, like, I think any time the problem with the
movie
like,
is it's like it's yeah. actually a great movie except for these except. Horrible things in it, which if yes. they did them, if they tackled them more gracefully or just did them in a better way, it'd be great. But it just,
again, it's one of those films where I feel like if it had been made earlier, like right in the middle of the South Park period, it would be unwatchable.
Oh, it'd be awful.
I feel like it would be the most dire, hated movie of all time. I feel like if it had been made, like if they tried to make a similar movie now, but they wouldn't,
mm-hmm,
like this movie would never get made now, I think.
No.
But if they made it now, it would be better because it would be more nuanced and more layered. And it's this weird thing because it's like, it's the whole thing is Hollywood making fun of Hollywood, but it's like everyone involved is like really within Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like whether like Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr. are these like fringe members of the Hollywood elite, but it kind of feels like they're all kind of part of the same group. So them making fun of that group doesn't really feel like having a go, and actually leans closer into almost like, I don't want to say a celebration. Just
like a gentle ribbing kind of thing? Like
just a gentle yeah. ribbing. And if you can gentle rib the Hollywood elite, then you're really not.
No.
No. Like you're not the people that you're kind of quasi, I mean, that's the trouble. They're not championing anyone. Like everyone in this film's awful, but it's not, almost not played severely enough, I guess.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like I said before, it's when you're up the top, like you can't really punch down. Like you can't, so you no. can't punch up when you're already on the top. Like who are you punching
yeah.
up to? So yeah.
Like Les Grossman as a character now just wouldn't work. Especially with like everything, as people understand more and more about the workings of Hollywood, it's a case of like, you can't have like, haha, he's a Hollywood producer and he's really horrible. It's a case of, yeah, because Hollywood producers are like fucking nightmare people.
Mm, we have one in jail, like, finally. Like,
yeah, no, exactly. And it's sort of like understanding how normalized that culture was. Like, him, this guy, he's like, oh, he's like this. It's a case of like, now if this came out, people would be like, that's fucking horrible.
Mm.
You couldn't play it for comedy because of the understanding of like how much power these people actually have. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was made at just the right time for it to be tolerable and also not very tolerable. And
yes.
It couldn't have been made either any other time. Otherwise, it just would have been the worst, or it would never have been made. And
yes,
good exactly. on it, I guess. Good on it for existing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like, there are really clever, funny moments. Like, you know, the whole film as a whole is really enjoyable up until there's like those five or so scenes where you're just like, oh, and I'm not cringing because I'm embarrassed. Like, I think of it like Zoolander and how they were like making fun of the model industry and everything. And that's hilarious. I haven't watched that movie in a while, but I think it's still funny. I know Zoolander 2 ruined it for.
But it's one of those things where it's sort of like, I feel this is closer to a Zoolander experience where even though humor doesn't really work anymore, it's something I got back to, which is now in episode one of this podcast, no, of this segment of this podcast, not back to episode one. That makes no sense. Where I said that none of it feels particularly mean-spirited, because the other film that this could have gone like would be something like Ace Ventura.
Yes.
Which is sort of like comedy of the time, but super spiteful. Like super spiteful and super aggressive and obviously very deliberately having a go at a group of people. Whereas this one, everything is couched in the terms of these people are bad people because of what they do and how they think.
Mm.
So like that element enough just makes it not totally awful, but it's still, and it's weird, as I said, like I didn't, other than the Simple Jack stuff, I didn't find this like cringe. I didn't get cringe humor out of this. It was more just kind of like,
except for the last
I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, nah, not into this. So that doesn't really work.
Yeah. I think to me, the cringe bits were Les Grossman.
Oh, really?
And I think maybe it's just because I'm a Tom Cruise fan now.
I love Tom Cruise. I've loved Tom Cruise for my entire life. But it's a case of, I don't mean
cringe. I think cringing for the right reason, like for what their purpose was that like this gross old man is now dancing like a young person. Like I'm cringing for that reason. I'm not cringing necessarily because I'm like, oh, but maybe a tiny bit because it's Tom Cruise and I'm like, oh, that's like your dad.
Yeah. No, what are you doing? I get that.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way watching it this time. Loving it the first time I saw it, the movies, then never seeing it again. And then in hindsight, looking back and going like, oh no, I've argued with people about it. And they're like, well, why is the black, like, isn't that blackface and that okay? For these reasons, I'm like, blackface is never okay. Like that's the blanket rule. And they weren't making a powerful enough point to justify it.
No.
So they should never have done it. And Robert Downey Jr. should have trusted his instincts.
Yes. And it's a case of like, as not powerful enough. And it's a case of, as I say, like, it's one of those, it's a weird thing to have, as you said, good-natured ribbing about.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like, Robert Downey Jr. was really good in this.
Yeah.
He is thoroughly enjoyable performance. Terrible, but, like, he did really well.
Yeah. Except for Jack Black, I think everyone did a really good job. Like, Jack Black's character is a bit meh, but everyone else, everyone did a great job.
Yeah.
And, had fun. Like, I can't hate Ben Stiller. Although, I kept thinking the whole time, have you seen the bit where Ben Stiller's pretending to be Tom Cruise's stunt double in Mission Impossible 2? It's so look it up.
I should check that out.
Yeah, it's so well done. Like, it was for, like, an MTV Awards bit or something, and they were doing, like, he changed his name to be quite similar to Tom Cruise, and he was like, we always finish each other's sentences and everything, and it's Tom Cruise's, like, he's a bit too intense, but, you know, I put up with it and everything. It's really, really funny. But I just kept thinking that, like, because it was, like, him wanting to be an action hero, and then he's actually getting to be his action hero fantasy, just, like, an extended version of that. Yeah, highly recommend anyone look that up. It's really, really funny. I can't complain about anything. Any of the acting, like I said, there's no women in this movie. It is a predominantly white cast, except for Al Pacino. Yeah, that's kind of, and then all the Asian actors. I can't pick if that was a little bit racist or like, I think it's like a bit of a stereotype of like Southeast Asian drug.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they were. It was never sold as like this is normal sort of thing.
Yeah.
They were hidden in the jungle because they're making a Vietnam War movie. So I mean, they didn't have any character. I don't think anyway. Hopefully not. And I just didn't notice it. But I don't think they had any like caricature offensive Asian stereotypes.
No. If they did, we may have missed it. It was subtle enough that we didn't see it. Oh God, there's so much going on in this movie. We could have missed it.
There's so much going on. It's. I do. It's stuff like I want to go back and because I recently watched with Lauren Night of the Museum, and they've got a whole sequence there where Ben Stiller's character is talking to like Genghis Khan and the Mongols, and I'm pretty sure they're just like making up sound effects as the language. And I feel like, or I want to say for this film that they didn't do that.
No, it sounded like legitimate.
Did sound like sounded legitimate to me. But if I'm wrong, that's hella racist. So yeah.
Two white people, not quite sure.
Not quite sure.
In summary, the blackface sucked, but still somehow wasn't the worst bit, most offensive bit of this movie.
No, ableism also sucked. Was the worst part of this
film? Probably the worst,
I want to say. It's like all the Simple Jack stuff. And it's,
Wow. Okay, so we'll review the movie. No Tom Cruise-isms because they didn't really exist in this movie. So, Peter, would you like to review this movie for me?
I would give this film 3 out of 6 G6s. It's... It's not good. It is a fine film. I wouldn't recommend this to anyone. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it's a good film.
Yes.
If that makes any sense. It does. So, yeah.
Very nice. All right. So my review, I'm going to give it 2 dickless monkeys out of 5.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I enjoy it, but I don't want to enjoy it. So it's getting 2 and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. it's like...
That's the thing, like, even though it was enjoyable, there are so many great movies out there that I'm better off watching that don't cover these sorts of things.
Yeah, no, it's I can't imagine a situation I'm like, oh, by the way, you should check out Tropic Thunder. It's just like, it would never come up.
Oh, you want to see a horrible use of blackface in a modern movie? Well, have I got the film for you?
Do I have the film for you? If you're chomping at the bit for another Justin Theroux masterpiece. And you've missed his 2008 seminal smash hit, Tropic Thunder. Well, strap yourself in.
Is that more a shock that he didn't write? Have you seen Your Highness?
No. No, that's a Danny McBride vehicle, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, it's a big one for him.
But it feels like that's what I wish Justin Theroux wrote, because Justin Theroux is in it as the Sorcerer Lazar. And he is wonderful because he's the most fucked character. Like, he's this fucked up, disgusting sorcerer who kidnaps the main character's, you know, bride-to-be. And yeah, wonderful. But then, yeah, he's in that and he's really good in that. And you're like, oh, maybe he writes like that. No, not really.
Nope.
Oh, Justin. All right. Well, that's our summary of Tropic Thunder. If you haven't seen it and you've listened to this, that's enough. You've done all you need to do about watching Tropic Thunder. Good on you. You did it.
Or didn't.
No, you did. Hopefully didn't. All right. So if you want to find me on my social media, it's Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram, Tom Cruise Review on Twitter, no S on the end, or just my website, tomcruisereviews.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast wherever you're listening to this and leave a little review if you wouldn't mind. Thank you again, Peter, for joining me. It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No, anytime. This was great.
We ripped apart that bloody movie and it was a good time. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.